Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't no stopping us now.
vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And then there are some others who tell Negroes in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all of our rights, and we want all of our rights here in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Here we are once again, Saturday night. It is the man himself experiencing spiritual unity with Dr. Spiritual Unity and Meditation with Dr. Benjamin Bridges. And we had it. Ain't no stopping us now. We keep going. And the man himself, happy, happy birthday, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., January the 15th. And he said, all here and now. We want all our rights. We want our rights right here, and we want them now. Happy birthday, Dr. King, a great man. To honor him today on his birthday, and we're on the Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation with Dr. Benjamin as well. We have a special guest tonight from Reentry Talk Program, Minister Jaquan Diaz and Mr. Nathaniel Evans. Come on every Wednesday night, 7 to 9, 347-857-1311. You got to see that program. Reentry, you got to come listen. The young brothers got some deep, deep information, and they're helping us move forward. And now, without a further ado, let's bring the man himself on, Dr. Benjamin Bridges. Give him a nice hand.
All right, my brother. Thank you. And let me tell you, our brother's birthday is right around the corner here, and I'm really proud of him because he has done some great, awesome, and amazing things. Because if it wasn't for our brother, there would have been a lot of things that we have would be still denied, no doubt, to this day. Because unfortunately, racism was very strong back at that time period in the 60s and the 50s and 40s. And, you know, homeboy came through in the 60s and really pushed forth that civil rights movement. And the beautiful thing about it, he was able to bring our people together in unity. And when he did do that, we were able to get some great results. And he was a brother that didn't just sit on the sideline and say, forget it, this is not going to work. He was a brother that said, no, I believe within the power of God and Christ that we can get something going here and make this thing really happen. So, again, I would like to give honor to our brother for the great and fantastic work that he did for helping to set our people free from, you know, the racism and the oppression that we were under at that time. And now, unfortunately, some of those same rights that we received back at that time period when the civil rights was given to us, now some of those things are even trying to be ripped away from us once again. You know, the right to vote and many other things are coming up. And these are things that we have to be very mindful of, you know, the things that are on the table right now that will be taken from us. So we have to, once again, come together in unity to actually stop this negativity that's trying to be falling on our community. And once we start to really come together again, whether we're Muslims, whether we're, you know, from the Caribbean, whether we're from African-Americans that were born here in the United States, or whether we're from Africa, wherever, the bottom line is come together in unity, let us work together and see what we can do to bring some positive change to our community. And that, these are some things that need to really happen right now, because you might think that, you know, voting is not really anything worthwhile doing because of the good old game called politics. And it's true, unfortunately, a lot of people don't even call politics politics anymore. They call it politics because, you know, you got, you know, politicians that will tell you that they're going to do X, Y, and Z. Like they say, Biden was supposed to come in and really help black people back and help out tremendously to help our folks. And now we're not really seeing, you know, what he was promising that he was going to do. He's thrown a few crumbs off the table, but as far as giving us that slice of cake or pie that he had promised, you know, we're not seeing that. But these are things that happen on a regular, unfortunately, with politicians, because they will promise you that they're going to do X, Y, and Z for you. And then once they get into office, you know, if they just give you a small piece of X and they leave out Y and Z, that's the best you're going to get. So a lot of times that's the way it works, you know. But again, that's one of the reasons why they changed the name from politics to politics, because they play a lot of games with us. And, you know, as Democrats and definitely as Republicans, you know, we have seen a lot of detrimental things that have been done, you know, against us, you know, as a people. But that's, again, another reason why we need to come together and see what we can do to really start to bring about some positive things to come through in our community. And we can definitely make those things come about, but if we're not going to come together, because right now a lot of different organizations and groups are just cooling out on the sidelines, and we can't really afford that. We have to come together in a movement to end a lot of this madness that's, you know, coming against us right now. And if we're just going to sit back on the sideline and say, I'm not going to do nothing, it's going to be all right. It's going to be, no, it's not going to be all right unless we make it all right. We have to contribute, come together in unity, and start to bring about some positive changes in our community. And these positive changes can and will definitely come about. But the bottom line is we have to step up to the plate and see what we can do to actually bring these wonderful opportunities that we have the opportunity to make happen, you know, and that's the thing. So I just wanted to say that to start things off in honor of Martin Luther King and what he's done to really be a great, I consider, you know, spiritual leader and political leader for our people. And he really, you know, stood up to the plate where he was even willing to, you know, take a chance on the vibe of, you know, sacrificing his life, because he knew that, you know, there was a lot of unfortunate white racists that, you know, definitely were angry with him because he actually gave, you know, civil rights back to our people. And they were like, wow, you know, that's the last thing we ever wanted to see his people get. Dare he to do something like that? So, you know, some of them, you know, were very angry to the point where they wanted to kill him, you know, and they wanted to take him out. But even with that being a threat against him, He didn't say, you know what, you guys are talking about maybe killing me or something. I'm just saying some good things. I don't even want to deal with this. Homeboy said, you know what, if I do this, my life may be on the line where I might be getting killed for helping my people out. But you know what, I'm going to take that chance because the lives of my people should be living a better and greater life than what they're living now. And under all of this oppression with their racist foot upon our necks and trying to keep us down and out, we can't live like this. No, I'm going to take a chance with this. And if I do get killed, I get killed. But the bottom line is I will hope and pray that God will bless me and my people so that we can come out of the gutter of all of this racism that we're dealing with now. And he was successful. And like I said, I got to salute the brother and say thank you very much for the work you did, my brother, because you came through with a successful opportunity that really helped our people. Now, I'm not saying that all of our people are millionaires and billionaires and doing great and, you know, wonderful things, but it's a lot better off than what it was before he brought the civil rights program into play. So we got to, you know, look at what it was before and what it is now. And even though, even at this time period, things are not, you know, really working out as good as they could and should, the bottom line is that brother didn't step up to the plate along with some of our other, you know, our leaders, political leaders that we had. You know, it would have been a very, you know, terrible situation. Still in this day, there would be 10 times or 100 times worse than what you're seeing today. So anyway, getting back to not only thanking him for what he's done for our people, but also looking at just announcing that we do need to come together in unity to see what we can do to be a blessing for our community. And not only, you know, just looking at some of the things that need to be corrected, but also looking at how we can come together in unity. You know, we can come together to get, you know, voting rights back, which would be good. We can come together to come out of poverty, which is really another big foot on our necks, which is holding down the lives of many of our people, unfortunately. And we can come together to overcome that. We can come together to really recognize our true identities, even spiritually, which is very important as well. And not to say that all of us, you know, are going to come together as Christians, all of us are going to come together as Muslims, all of us are going to come together as Hebrews or, you know, Rastafarians, all of us are going to come together in this religion or that religion, but we need to also get rid of the walls of hatred that are up saying, hey, if you're not in my religion, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, get out of my room right now. I don't even want you in the meeting with us because you're not in my religion. I've seen this, you know, before in the past where people really only want to deal with Muslims, only want to deal with Christians, only want to deal with Hebrews. They don't want to deal with anybody outside of their religion, and that is wrong. Because even when Martin Luther King was doing the civil rights movement, Muslims, Christians, Hebrews, all of them came together in oneness and said, okay, I understand you're not a Christian like me, or I understand you're not a Muslim like me, but the bottom line is we all got the same problems because we're black people and we need to come together and see what we can do in unity to overcome the negativity in our community. And that was something that our people were willing to do at that time, show some respect for each other and say, hey, even though you're not in my religion, we still need to come together and work together. And that's what happened. And that's something that we need to do again, even though I still see that same negativity that's there where people are saying, no, no, listen, if you ain't a Muslim, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. If you ain't a Christian, I definitely don't want to have nothing to do with you. Hey, if you ain't a Jew or a Hebrew, if you like, forget it. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Matter of fact, get the heck out of it. You know, those kind of conversations and mentality need to be definitely out of the picture. Cast it out of the picture, totally erased and replaced with us knowing that we need to come together in unity, regardless of our religion, regardless of what country you're from. And just know, as black people and African people, descendants, we need to know that we need to come together and put the rest of that negativity to the side, kick it to the curb. We do not need to hold on to that, you know. And these are things that, unfortunately, you do run into off and on with these conversations that are speaking about, you know, listen, if you ain't into what I'm doing, forget it. I won't have nothing to do with you. So we need to put that to the side and just kick it to the curb and just say, listen, we're not going to deal with that. What we're going to deal with is us coming together in unity to really bring about some wonderful and awesome and amazing positive changes in our community. And once we can really start to do that, that's when, you know, things will start to change. But we can't just stay in that negative mindset where we're going to just, you know, put up a brick wall of hatred that says, no, if you're not with me on my religion, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. No. So that's another thing that we have to deal with, kicking that to the curb and saying we're not going to deal with that. The other thing that's very important, whether you're a Muslim or Christian or Hebrew, Rasta, is to know that even though for the last 450 years we've been under the oppression and the brainwashing of seeing ourselves as people that are not capable of doing certain things to, you know, really bring about positive change, to really bring about coming out of poverty, to really see ourselves bringing, you know, positive things into our community and our families' lives and our community lives. And these are things that we can do, but we have to believe it in order for us to receive it. And we just keep seeing things from the down low and keep saying, this is not going to go, and I know this can't work, and I know this won't work, and this is a waste of time, and this, that, and the other. If we just keep seeing things from a negative perspective, what's going to happen is we're going to receive a lot of negativity again. So what we need to do is start to see things from a positive perspective. Come together in prayer, come together in fasting, come together in meditation, come together and start to visualize and see some positive things coming to you and me. And it not only can be something that, you know, someone can say, what, we can really spiritually do some great and wonderful things for our community. And like I said, I've already experienced this. This is something that someone might say, yeah, right, brother, you didn't experience nothing. But you know what? I have awards that were given to me for saving the lives of our youth in our community in New York. And the reason why those awards were given to me was because there were kids that were in these gang wars that wanted to kill each other. And we got a group called Parents Against Teen Violence. And when we formed that group of Parents Against Teen Violence, we went into different schools and we talked to the, you know, the principals, and we spoke to the superintendents, and they allowed us to go in and have our speakers talk to these youth about why they need to start to try to live a positive life instead of throwing their life away. So by the time they're 18 or 20, 21, they'll be in a coffin instead of being in their own, you know, personal business job that could be making them some serious money. And these are things that could, on the positive side, come about. But if they're going to be having guns and want to, you know, shoot and kill each other because they think that they want to be the biggest and baddest gang in Harlem, they want to be the biggest and baddest gang in Mount Vernon or in Yonkers or in the Bronx and things like that, then basically that means that they're going to go against each other. And if they need to kill each other to force each other to surrender to their gang instead of, you know, saying, no, me and you, we're going to be partners, and the other gang is saying, no, he's going to do what I'm telling you, or we're going to kill your ass, you know. So with those kind of conflicts which were going on with these gang wars, that was what, you know, really caused a lot of problems to come about. And when we came in with Parents Against Teen Violence, especially, we were able to get quite a few of the youth to come out of the gang. And then there was like about 40% that were just, No, saying no. I'm staying in these gangs. And guess what? I don't care what you got to say. I don't care how many speeches you want me to listen to. I ain't even listening to it. It's just going to go in one ear and come out the other. So you do have youth that aren't going to listen to you. And then you do have youth that are saying, you know what? These guys are right, man. We shouldn't be trying to destroy that individual that, you know, is in the other gang, because it's going to not only kill him, but it's going to have a, you know, a devastating effect on his family, his mother, his sisters, his brothers, his father. A lot of people are going to get hurt when we kill that person. And also, it has a devastating effect on our community. So these are things that we shouldn't do. And when we were telling them that and really trying to convey that message that instead of destroying your community and destroying your people by trying to kill each other to try to prove that you're the biggest and baddest gang in Harlem or in Mount Vernon or wherever, you know, the bottom line was that that was the wrong thing for you to focus on as your goal in life. Because if you wanted to prove that, and the only way you could prove it is to try to kill as many people in these other gangs as possible so you could prove that your gang was the best, then that was the wrong way to go about it. But the bottom line was that was a very important piece that we were able to do, because we were able to convince a large portion of these youth to come out of these gangs and stop trying to kill each other, stop thinking in a negative proportion where you feel that, you know, it's okay for you to kill these niggas, because bottom line is at the end of the year or the month or whatever, you're going to be able to say, you know, my gang is the biggest and baddest gang here and there, you know, and all that kind of crazy talk. But the bottom line was, after we spoke with them, we had a number of different great speakers. And our speakers came from California, they came from Chicago, they came from Philly, they came from the five boroughs in New York City, and they came from Westchester, Mount Vernon, Yonkers, the Bronx, you know. We had a number of speakers from Philly and different places, you know, from black communities. And some of these guys were ex-gangbangers that had come out of the gangs and had seen, you know, some terrible things that had happened to their friends and family. And I never forget this one brother. It was like really, I'll be honest with you, very sad situation. And after he even spoke about it, he was up on stage crying in front of the auditorium with all these kids that were there. And it was about 1,500 kids in the auditorium. But the bottom line was, it was a very sad story about how he was in a gang. And his gang had killed a few gang members in the other gang. And basically, the other gang was saying, we're going to definitely get our revenge for these guys killing our, you know, the people in our gang. And what ended up happening, the other gang who just had their, you know, some of their members killed from the other gang, they started following the other gang to try to find out where they were meeting at and what was going on. Anyway, make a long story short, they found out that on the weekend they would meet at McDonald's in Harlem. And when they met in Harlem, you know, they would stay there for about an hour, you know, and they were in the back section of Harlem, and, you know, with the tables and everything, and they were sitting around, and there was about 25 of them, you know, all together. But the bottom line was that they would come together, and that would be like around, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon on Saturday. And anyway, make a long story short, after they saw that that was something that they do, you know, on a regular, and I think that was like every 2 weeks they were doing that, you know, and, you know, the bottom line was they were like saying, okay, we got their schedule down, you know, when they meet, you know, where they meet, and now, you know, we're going to go in here and we're going to definitely try to see what we can do to, you know, wipe out as many of these knuckleheads as possible. So what ended up happening, that gang ended up having two of their members, you know, drive out to, you know, McDonald's. And when they drove out there, two of them had machine guns. And they waited for their, meeting that they had to be over. But it only, like I said, it only lasted for about an hour. And after they, you know, ate and, you know, met and everything there and had their meeting, they came out. And when they came out, that's when these guys came out of their car with, you know, two machine guns. And when they came out with the two machine guns, they gunned these brothers down. And they shot all of them, and they killed the majority of them, but there was only about four or five of them that were just wounded, you know. But then what ended up happening when McDonald's, people at McDonald's started to see that all these people were being shot, they called the police. And that was a good thing that saved those four or five people's lives, because what they started to do was stand over these people and started shooting them again while they were on the ground and make sure that they killed them. It wasn't just like, I wounded you, I want to make sure that I killed you. And when they started to hear the sirens coming, you know, from the police and all of that, they said, oh, shoot, forget it. We don't have no time to stand over all of these guys. Let's get the heck out of here. So then they rushed into their car and they drove off. But one of the brothers, who was one of the leaders of the gang, he, you know, was shot in the shoulder, but he laid on the ground because he didn't want to get up and say, hey, man, what are you guys shooting all my people, you know, because he knew that if he was trying to convince them that they were wrong for shooting and this, that, and the other, they would have shot and killed him as well. So he just laid down there on the ground and was hoping that some way or somehow, you know, they were going to stop. Anyway, that's a long story short with that. You know, he got up, and his girlfriend that he was just about to get ready to marry, who was pregnant with his son that was supposed to come forth as well, she was murdered. She was shot in the head and shot in the chest with a machine gun. And, you know, that really broke his heart into a million pieces, and he was really sad about that. Plus, you know, a lot of the guys that he was good friends with from high school and everything came into the gang with him, and he was with them. And, you know, a lot of those guys that were his best friends, a lot of them were murdered. And, you know, it was really sad because he was, like, saying how it was so devastating. And he was just in such a deep state of depression because of the woman that he really was in love with, and that he was about to have his first son born. And unfortunately, because his wife died, or not his wife, his woman that he wanted to be his wife, his girlfriend that he wanted to be his wife, died. And basically what ended up happening, you know, it caused a situation where, like I said, he was just in deep depression behind that, losing so many of his friends and also losing his to-be wife, in, which was going to happen in a, you know, a few weeks. He was planning to, you know, marry her. But anyway, make the long story short on that part, what ended up happening was that, you know, when he was telling this to the youth in the schools and telling them, do you see what happened to me and how I lost my girlfriend, how I lost my son, how I lost some of my best friends and everything? He said, when you get into these games and going to do crazy stuff like this, you know, to have these gang wars, not only are you putting your life on the line, but you're putting your girlfriend's life on the line, you're putting your best friends on the line. Do you really want to, you know, take a chance and, you know, end up almost like committing suicide with crazy stuff like this to have gang wars against each other? Why would you want to live a life where you're actually in a place where you can actually kill each other like that? It doesn't make any sense. And what ended up happening at the end of each time he was at the auditoriums and spoke with the kids in the schools, a lot of the kids in the gangs came up to him and said, you know what, man? I just thought about what you say, and I see them tears in your eyes coming down your face, and I hear you, man. You're right. You know, it don't make no sense to, you know, take a chance like this, and we're going to be killing each other and all of this, and, you know, thinking that, you know, we're just going to kill people in other gangs, but they ain't going to kill us, you know. He said, no, you know, you're right, man. I'm getting out of the gangs. And a lot of people came up to him and shook his hand and thanked him for, you know, sharing that with him. And we had a lot of people come out of the gang just from him sharing that devastating situation of how he lost his girlfriend, his son that was going to be, you know, born, you know, and the whole nine yards, man. But it was like really, really something that was a mind awakener, even though it was one of the saddest stories you want to hear, because, you know, you had about, what was it, about 20, you know, about 20 youth that got killed in that gang war that they had right then at that time at McDonald's. And that was really sad to hear and to see. Anyway, these are the things that can happen in these gang wars, and could be very, for, you know, our people, you know, and for our families and folks to actually deal with this kind of stuff, because you don't need to go into a situation where we're trying to take each other's lives out so we can sell drugs in your neighborhood, and we'll be in control of all of that, and we'll get the money from that, and the people in your gang, they can help us sell these drugs, but we're going to be the ones making all the money off of this. So I'll give you a few crumbs off the table, but this is going to be my money. And when you're thinking like that, you know, that's how you want to run things. And if you got to kill, you know, 10 or 20 or 30 kids, you know, it doesn't make a difference to you. And I was really glad that the Lord allowed me to assist in being able to do that. Because in that happening, it actually turned a lot of things around, and we were able to save a lot of kids' lives. Because once they awoken to seeing that what they were doing was very detrimental, was very negative, it was not only destroying the individual that they shot and killed, but it was destroying families, it was destroying the community, and they just needed to turn totally around and out of that situation. And I was very glad to see that a lot of them did come out of it after we had speakers that went through, you know, serious situations like the brother I just told you about. So when he shared his situation, a lot of them said, okay, time to throw in the towel on this. I'm done. And I was really glad to see that. And, you know, I even, you know, really, you know, congratulated the brother on having a huge impact on, you know, his speaking to these youth, and was able to get a lot of them to come out of it. But like I said, every time he went up on stage after he told that story, he was really very, very sad, you know, and he was crying, you know. But he lost his girlfriend, he lost his child, and he lost a whole bunch of his best friends. But anyway, that's something that, you know, came about, and I was really glad to see that our organization and group was able to make that happen. And one of the things that we can do, again, is come together, whether it's going into the schools, whether it's creating community centers, you know, so that we can teach our kids, you know, some very important things. And all of these things can really bring about some positive change for our people. But coming together in unity so that we can truly bring about some positive change in our community are things that we can definitely do, you know. But the bottom line is we can't sit on the sideline and just think it's going to happen all by itself. We need to participate in it. And the other thing is through spirituality as well. That's something else that can really bring about some positive change, because that was the icing on the cake for us, you know. And this 40% that didn't want to leave the guns actually did leave the gangs. It was because Jesus had came to us while we were doing meditation and prayer, and he was telling us that this is something that could be done, you know, that you guys could actually see the divine love of God in Christ in the minds and hearts, these knuckleheads that want to kill each other. And basically, I will reach into their minds and hearts and totally erase all this negativity. And I was really glad to see that this was something that really did occur, and it was a great blessing to stopping the gang wars, and that 40% ended up actually stopping after we focused on that with our meditation groups in our schools and doing prayer and meditation there. And I know that we weren't supposed to do no prayer there, nor to, you know, dealing with it from that perspective, but because we were talking about saving the lives of our kids, we did do it. But anyway, I did want to, you know, open the mics now. And, you know, we have Pastor Willie, you know, Sanders, and that's number is 973-517. Off of what we just spoke about with Martin Luther King, and we're talking about, you know, how we can come together in unity to end a lot of the negativity that we're dealing with in our communities, whether it's ending gang wars, whether it's ending all of this racism that wants to take away our rights to vote and all kind of different things. I just wanted to hear from you what you felt on the feedback of what we can do and what we should do to really bring about some positive things.
Okay.
That number again is 973-517. Your mic is open. Do you have anything you would like to say? Okay. There you go.
How's it going? How's everybody?
All right. And just wanted to see off of what we spoke about, what kind of feedback you had off of what was just said. And if you could share with us what you think about what we just spoke on, that would be great.
I was just listening, kind of dozing off a little bit, but the fact of the matter is that I was on when you were talking about the gang members coming together or something, where I was talking about, you know, this person being killing each other and some of the things like that. I'm just generalizing. The bottom line is just that my goal is to try and whatever black business, whatever that I can support in my community, my neighborhood, that's what I'm pushing and that's what I'm trying to do, because we want to be able to definitely support each other. That's basically where I'm at. That's why I'm here tonight.
Well, I do appreciate that, my brother. Yes, indeed. We need to come together in unity so we can definitely be a blessing to our community. So thank you on that one, brother. Did you have anything else you wanted to add on to that, or are you?
Oh, that's it. That's it, my brother. I'm just enjoying you guys.
Okay, well, great, my brother. I really do appreciate what you had to say. And yes, indeed, we definitely will come together to see what we can do to definitely bring about some positive change to our community. And now we have another caller. His name is Lamont, and that number is 817-825. Kenneth Lamont. Jay,
yes, sir.
Kenneth, you could give us some feedback on some of the things that we spoke about, which was dealing with Martin Luther King and his effort to help to bring about civil rights for our people, and he was successful with that. And like I said, I salute him because he was a brother that knew that even though he was doing things like this, it might have cost him his life in order to do that. But he said, hey, bottom line is our people's lives do matter, and I'm going to see what I can do to help my people out. Even if something happens to me, it happens. But the bottom line is I'm going to do that. And then the other thing that we spoke about was how we need to come together in unity spiritually as well, and put down these, you know, hatred of, well, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Muslim, if you're not a, you know, a Hebrew Israelite, or if you're not a, you know, Rastafarian, I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Because back in the 60s when, you know, Martin Luther King was there, he was there to try to bring us together, and different religious groups came together and started working together. And then also the last piece of the puzzle was the fact that he had a situation with, you know, these gang wars as well in our community, and we had to see what we could do to come together in unity and to, you know, speak to our youth about changing their mindset from wanting to kill each other and trying to be the biggest and baddest gang, whether it's in Harlem, whether it was in Brooklyn, or whether it was in the Bronx or whatever. The bottom line is, you know, come out of that mindset of, you know, just wanting to destroy each other's lives. So these are things that are very important, but at the same time, I just wanted to see what you had to say in regards to your feedback on what you felt in regards to these things that, you know, we spoke about.
You know, I think brother's really on point. The biggest takeaway that I have with that is definitely having more unity. Back to, you know, the days when everybody, you know, when everything was a village. You know, I think for a lot of the younger kids today and things like that, you have to give them something to look forward to. And, you know, when that piece is missing, then all they have to do is look towards things from within themselves. And so, but if neither one of them have anything, so then there's nothing. So coming together, unity, creating things and structuring things that give, especially our youth, to be able to have something to look forward to. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, because even in the era for me, you know, I came up in the 70s and things like that, and things was different. Even then, you know, it was that village, and now it's not. You know, I had a lady told me just the other day that the people at school told her son that if in fact his mom was doing him anything, to come back and tell them, and they will take care of it. You know, and I'm just like, everything is out of whack. You know, it's out of whack. You know, I remember the days when you was able to chastise and it wasn't a problem. All rights have been taken away from the individuals who are supposed to have it and given to the ones who don't or shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's just no more unity in the way that things should be. And government, state, and everybody's taking over. So, you know, parents have no control. So it makes it harder for them to maintain the kids, because they gave the kids more power than the parents.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know, so we definitely have to come together a lot more.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
And once we start doing that, then we can start to see some good results like we did back in the 60s, because our people did come together in unity, and, you know, they did a lot of great and wonderful things. You know, I remember there was busloads of brothers and sisters that were going to, you know, white racist restaurants and saying, hey, we came here to get something to eat, you know. And then from what happened from there, they, you know, the white racists would call the police, and sometimes they would call the Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, when they did that, you know, they would come and they would actually shoot and kill some of the people that were in the restaurant, you know. And sometimes they would just arrest them or tell them that they had to get out of the restaurant and leave. But the bottom line was, these guys knew that that was the case, that, you know, there was a chance that something could happen to them and they could actually be killed. But you know what? They said, hey, you know what? Our people need some positive change. We need to bring about some positive change going on here. And we just can't keep sitting back on the sideline and not doing nothing. So many of them were willing to even risk their lives to help their people in their community. And that's something you don't really see anymore right now. But these are things that can happen for our people once we start to really see that we really care that much about one another and our lives do matter, and that we really do feel that we need to come together to bring about some positive change, and we can do it and we will do it. And another thing that was, you know, as I said earlier to you, the icing on the cake for even the gang wars, what we saw was that in us coming together in prayer and in meditation, what ended up happening was that a lot of the work that we had to do in going into the schools and all of that and convincing these kids, and it took months and months to actually get them to come out of that negative mindset of what they were dealing with. When we did the prayer and meditation that Jesus had told us to do, we just looked at 2 weeks of doing those prayers and meditations, and then what ended up happening was that the gang wars were over. And I was like, wow, this is wonderful, you know. But that shows us that we do have the ability to do things from a spiritual perspective as well. And if we do it from a spiritual perspective, what can actually happen is we can actually bring about positive things that can really make some great and wonderful things happen. But the only thing is, we have to reawaken to the fact that we do have spiritual ability to do some great and wonderful things. Well, Kenneth, again, I do thank you for your feedback, because it was right on the money and right on time. And thank you much, my brother, for sharing your information. Yes, right now we have Nathaniel Evans. Nathaniel Evans, and his number is 347-788. 347-788. Yes, indeed, my brother. Just wanted to get some feedback from you as well. And if you could share some information on what we just spoke about, that would be great.
Yeah, you cleared a mouthful. You said a lot of different topics, different concepts. So one thing I want to look at, too, is, you know, we do speak about our communities, and we do speak about how you know, the games and how these individuals coming against each other. See, like, even from our show, we see that they are attacking our community. They're attacking the fathers. They're attacking the mothers. They're putting them in systems. They, you know, the prison systems, you know, is a huge thing right now dealing with mental health illnesses in our community. So a lot of the children in our community don't have that guidance that they actually need to stay out of those different games. So they actually try to find those games, too, as a space to, you know, to be expected, you know, to be wanted and to be loved, you know, and us as leaders and, you know, black men in our community, this is a facet that we actually have to pay attention to. So we have to be able to come at some of these different systems to actually protect our children, because if not, they would eat us alive. And, you know, we made some interesting points about us connecting and, you know, stop celebrating ourselves through, you know, religious context. You know, saying that I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, I'm Hebrew Israelite, and different things like that. At the end of the day, we are all people. We are all men. We are all women. And we're in the same community, and we're being affected in the same community. And the religions are not changing our community. They're not uplifting our community. You have a church that's on the block for 20 years. They see that homelessness is taking place in the community. There's 3 abandoned buildings on that block. The church is not going to go buy those abandoned buildings to counterattack against homeless. So you also have the same thing dealing with Catholic communities, dealing with Hebrew Israelite. They're not building a community, even though they're using the scriptures and saying that God sent them to teach this doctrine and bring you into their fold. They're not doing the things that Job said we're supposed to do when we go to our community. We're supposed to uplift our community. If we see any harm in our community, we're supposed to address it. If a judge makes a bad judgment against our communities or just keep our communities, we're supposed to basically reach out to that judge, do petitions, and, you know, go to court and support and things of that nature, so you can show that there is a community, you know, embrace, and that they just can't get away with doing whatever they want to do within our community. So this is a really important segment to show, like, all the different facets that's taking place to break us down chip by chip. They're not coming at as a whole. They breaking it down chip by chip. And then eventually, like, yo, where is that? Where is it at? Because we didn't see it leave because they're chipping at the block. And the block they're chipping at is us. They're looking at our legacy. Like, we don't have a right to have a legacy in the land. Our only legacy in the land is to work for them, to be their slaves, not to build our communities, not to see things that's in our community so we can directly attack them, because we can't. I got to work 9 to 5. Right, I don't have time to do the things in my community owned by another entity that's actually not me. And it's not the Most High that I'm moving according to when I go into work in an organization. I'm not going to an organization to work for the Most High. You know, I'm going to an organization to work for me to protect myself. It's like Christ said, he that saves his life shall lose it, but he that loses life shall save it. Right? And he's basically showing that you have to sacrifice who you are for the Most High so you can save your life. But if you're just out here trying to build your own life and, oh, this is my money and this belongs to me and this belongs, you know, and things of the nature, then you know you're going to lose out on the back end. So we're not seeing ourselves spiritually. We're not seeing the spiritual connection that we have with the Most High and our direct responsibility to our community and to even who we are as a people, as building our family structures, saving and protecting our sons and daughters, then we're doing a disservice by reading any scripture. Because every scripture, when you read the scriptures, it's talking about increase. It's talking about positivity. It's talking about community growth and development. When you look at the apostles, even though the apostles had different journeys and they had different lessons, their lessons were all the same. Bring the people to the Most High in righteousness. That was all of their lessons. I don't care if it's Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark. It didn't matter which apostle, they all had the same duty, was to bring righteousness in the community and bring people back to the Most High, right? So you can read any scripture that you want to read, even if you want to read the Quran. The Quran says the same thing about building community and exerting righteousness in the community. It doesn't say to come in communities and destroy communities, take resources out of the community, and don't bring the resources back into the community. So you want to collect tithes, you want to collect offerings, but the tithes and offerings is supposed to build the community. If you read the scriptures, The high priest collected the money to take care of who? Mm-hmm. They took care of themselves, but they also took care of the fatherless. They took care of the poor. They took care of the homeless. You know what I'm saying? They took care of the widows when their husband died or their wife died. They took care of these individuals. They didn't just say, oh, Miss Betty's husband died. Oh, well, she's about to lose her house. You know, that ain't got nothing to do with us. Even though she's been here, coming here for 20 years, giving tithes and offerings, we're not going to come now and save her house. We're going to let Miss Betty get evicted and her house get taken, and she's going to go into the shelter.
Right. Well, Nathan, I really do appreciate what you're saying because it's definitely honest. You know, you are touching base on some things that are really, you know, true and are definitely things that we need to focus on. And, again, we do need to come together in unity, and we're going to definitely bring about some serious and wonderful things in our community. And thank you once again for sharing that feedback, and I'm really glad to hear some of the things you had to say, because it was definitely on the money, definitely. And I think we can definitely help our people that were listening, and also these are some things that we can focus on when we do come together. Anyway, we do have some other callers, and right now we have a gentleman by the name of Ronald A., and his number is 718-350, 718-350, Ronald A. If you would like
Yes, I am. I really don't have anything to say, but the brother said it all. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord, and all things will be added unto you. And that's passed down from the top down, not from the bottom up, shaken and stirred. You know, there's nothing I have to add. You know, God bless him. God bless the words that he projected to feed some of our memories. You know, we forget, you know, and so on. And through forgetfulness, sometimes we're misled, you know. So God bless him and his family and everyone around him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my brother. Well, I do appreciate you, sharing that as well. And bottom line is that when we do come together, we'll be able to really bring about some nice and positive change. And, you know, that's the thing, just letting go of the negativity that holds us back from coming together. What's the old saying, let go and let God. Let go of all that negativity and let God bring us together in unity and to really help us so that we can bring that positive change in our community. So these are things that can definitely happen. And thank you, Brother Ronald, for sharing that with us. And all I can say is we're definitely on our way to a brighter day. We just need to follow through and do what we say we're going to do, not just say it, but do it. Okay, so Ian Brown, your number is 347-880. Ian, if you're still there, you know, we would definitely like to hear some feedback from you as well. And if you'd like to share some information with us on how you're feeling about this subject matter of us, like with what Martin Luther King did back in the 60s, and now we're talking about what we need to do now, even here in 2022, you know, because things are, you know, starting to be stripped away from us, you know, even with what Martin Luther King fought so strongly and hardly for our people. And basically, in doing that, the terrible thing about it was that, you know, now when you look around, you know, down south in some of the other states, you have states where they don't even want black people to vote, you know, and this is really crazy. And the Republicans are really pushing very hard on that to come about. So these are things that we really need to make sure that we to grips with and really come together in unity so we can be about creating a movement to bring about some positive change on that. All right? So right now what I would like to say is we're going to move on, and I do appreciate what you were saying there. And we do have another caller. And the number that they were calling from was 347-593. 347-593. If you could come on board and, you know, unmute your phone if it is needed, and speak to us in regards to giving some feedback on some of the things that we've been talking about. We really would appreciate that.
Thank you for this time and moment, and I'm just embracing the words, and I feel the connection is really like everybody is really on the same page. Unity is like you and I. It's not. It's about you. There's no I. It's no me. And unity is an action word because you have to unite, and to unite, something has to take place. The word of God, about in James 4, chapter 4, it speaks about faith without works is dead. How can you say you love somebody and then they come to you for a coat or something to eat and then you turn away and you say, wait. Love is showing your deeds, and your deeds must be the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and love is unity. So I really think we're all onto something, and I think it's going to be powerful as long as we continue to keep that in our system, you know, about building up the love and the unity. That's what it's all about. Thank you for your time.
And thank you for sharing that, my sister. That was very nice in what you had to say, and I do really do appreciate you sharing that feedback with us. Yes, indeed. And right now, we do have another caller online. That's 914-330. 914-330. If you're still here online with us right now, we would definitely like to have you show some feedback on things that we've talked about thus far. And if you could share with us what you think and feel about, you know, what we've been talking about, that would be great. So, again, 914-330. If you can give us some feedback on some of the things that we've just discussed, that would be great. Okay, 914-330. All right. Well, sometimes we do have technical problems there, and sometimes we do have just listeners that really don't feel that they want to say anything, so they just keep quiet. So I'm not sure with the 914 which way he's coming, but the bottom line is that if he is just a listener, that's no problem as well. And we'll move on to our next caller, which is 302-547. 302-547. If you can give us some feedback on some of the things that we just discussed, that would be great as well. 302-547. If you're still there, and if you feel that you would like to share with us what you feel about some of the things that we just spoke about, that would be good if you could, you know, pick up your phone and, you know, talk and
yes,
share with
greetings
us.
And people.
Okay, great.
Greetings.
Greetings to you, mother.
Yes, in between the time that you started to call out my number, the person that you were calling out before said something, but he was not acknowledged. If the person is still there, I'd like to give them the opportunity to speak, and then I'll come in afterwards.
Which one are you talking about?
The number that you were... No, the last telephone number that you were calling out, the person responded, but you were speaking my telephone number while he was saying something, and it, if the person is still there, I'm giving them the opportunity to speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at this point, you don't really want to say anything yourself?
Yes, I was just, well, if they're not ready to speak, I'll just say I'm, from what I've heard thus far, because I came in quite late, I hear the same theme that it is my mantra as well, which is the basic foundation of everything and anything that I am of is love. For the divine creator himself is love. Him and her is love. For the father and the mother of creation are one. When they come together, they created us. In his divine will, in his words, he uttered and we were created. As he said it, so it is. Now, it is for us to walk in his light, for we are in his image and likeness. When I say him, I'm talking about the man, the womb man, or the seeded man, created in the image and likeness of God. Thus, God is both male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Combine that unity in one, that strength that created us. We must walk in that perfect example, Christ's mind, which is the anointed mind, the mind that is love in its fullness, which is in action, it is charity. That is love in its fullness. The hunger be fed, naked clothed, sick nourished, age protected, and the infants cared for. Fulfilling these things, that is love in its fullness. Blessed love to all.
Mm-hmm. There you go, my brother. All right. Well, I do appreciate what you just shared with us, my brother, and I do feel what you're saying is true. You know, we need to definitely open our hearts and minds to, you know, having respect and love for one another. And in so doing, we can bring about some positive change to help our people. But if you're in a situation where you're just thinking from a selfish mindset and you only want to help yourself as an individual and don't really care about anybody else, and that's, you know, a really negative way to see things. And I always liked, you know, a really positive affirmation from Africa that said that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, you know. And in us coming together as a whole village, even though you say, well, what? That kid's not from me. Me and my wife didn't have him. Why should I help him? And instead of having that kind of negative viewpoint on seeing children or adults that need help, whether they're starving, whether they're homeless, whether they're going through a lot of different changes and everything, and you're saying that, well, wait a minute, that's not my brother, that's not my cousin or nothing, they're not related to me, so I'm not helping them. You know, these are things that we have to not have that kind of feeling. But when we can actually have the divine love of God in our heart that tells us that we should help one another instead of reaching out to verbally talk negatively about one another, instead of reaching out to even physically want to hurt or even kill one another, these are things that should totally be erased from our minds and our hearts and allow the divine love of God in Christ to fill our hearts so that we can reach out to be a blessing to one another instead of trying to destroy the lives of one another. But anyway, we do have another caller right now, and this is Brother Troy. And his number is 914-227. 914-227, Brother Troy. So we'll see if we can.
Yes. Greetings to all of you. So yeah, I want to read a quote pertaining to unity by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Very interesting stuff that he said about unity. Since we're dealing with spiritual unity. He said that we must have unity with the black nations of the earth, which you and I are members and who are leaving in search of us. Since now, having the knowledge that we were bound in chains of slavery in the Western Hemisphere of our earth, we cannot come forth making the steps of freedom towards a free people until the shackles have been cut to allow our steps to be made freely. It is written so plainly in the last book of the Bible that the fearful and the unbelieving leadership and their followers of the enemy, right, the beast, and the scriptures does not try to hide, giving the slave master one of the worst names, as he is like a savage beast against the black man of America and the world, people of God. Shall go down with the beast in a lake of fire. Our unity with God is the thing that's going to help us. It's okay to have unity amongst each other, but if we don't have unity with God, who is the source, the strength, the power, the guide, the everything, that's going to help us maintain that unity or actually get into unity, then there's a disconnect. So not only should we have unity with ourselves, right, our family, regardless of what religion you into, we can pick a goal and come together and ask God for guidance and help, we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Well said, my brother. I do appreciate what you shared, because it is very important that we do need to make that connection with God, and that we do need to come together in unity to help one another and to really focus on taking action to do positive things to help bring about positivity in our community. And when we start to do these things, that's when we're going to see some great and awesome results come about in our community that can really change our community. So yes, indeed, I'm definitely 100% in agreement with you. And I do feel that what you're saying and what you said was very true. And thank you for sharing that with us. And we do have another caller online as well. And that number is 646-943. 646-943. If you are available right now and would like to talk, that would be great to share some feedback.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My name is Abdulrahim Sally, and I've been listening to the subject around unity, and I want to be positive, okay, when we talk about unity. We are unity in spiritual, but I don't see us being unity in economics. And the reason I say that is that when you come to our neighborhood and you go to a grocery store, it's from immigrant countries. And they have a way of financing and being the control of the necessary items that we need for life. That's food. The other thing is that you see other ethnic groups come in and they focus on certain areas. Like you have the Indian, Pakistan, you talk about Dunkin' Donuts. Any Dunkin' Donuts that you go to, you see the owners being Indian or Pakistani. Or you go to buy a newspaper at the newspaper stand, it's the same thing. So I'm saying is that I've been looking at this from that point of view of saying that when do we take our knowledge and focus on a particular industry and dominate that industry? Now, I'm not naive to say that, most of the time that we cannot break into any industry is because our lack of resource, cash. A lot of times when you start talking about an entrepreneur that want to open up a store, you have to say, okay, I need some startup cash. And most of the times we don't have the startup cash. You need, you got to get a lawyer. You got to get an accountant. You got to have much security and much rent. You have to pay electricity. You got to have staff. Okay. So my experience in that, because I've been a entrepreneur and a business person, okay, that it's very hard to find a business in our community that we can go into without no upfront cash. And that's been our problem, when you talk to our people, okay, they'd rather spend their money on sport and play or, you know, $1,000 sneakers, okay, and things like that. But they don't ever have anything for leaving a legacy. You can't leave legacy with $1,000 sneakers. You can't leave legacy if you don't have to control the commerce in our neighborhood. And I'm kind of torn, okay, because there's never opportunity, okay, that we have that we don't need no money now, and we can come into a operation and just step in it and don't have no overhead and do business. You know, that would be the ideal business for us. You know, that.
Well, you know, I do agree with you, my brother. You know, this is something where when you do walk into that community and you see the different businesses that are there, you see Asian, you see Hispanic, you see white, you know, you see a number of different people that are outside of the black community putting their businesses in the black community. But the bottom line is that, you know, the reason why these things are happening is because, you know, they want to make sure that they can keep the black community down and out. And when the black people come for starting a business, even if they have good credit or if they have good, you know, income from working a 9-to-5 job, they still say, no, no, we can't give you the money, you know, for you to start your own business. And they come up with all these excuses on why they can't fund you. But the bottom line is that that's where we come together. And that's, again, why it's so important for us to come together in unity. Because once we start to come together in unity, and whether we know it or not, we do have quite a few millionaires and billionaires that are in our community, but we don't come together in unity with those folks and utilize that money to do certain things to help our community. And that's what we need to do as a people. But once we start to really bring our financial people together that have money, that can do financing for our people and can bring our people out of the gutter of poverty because they just gave them money for a down payment, which will allow them to get their business started, then these are things that can really change our community. But if we're going to stay in a state of mind where we're like saying, no, no, Master Charlie told us that if you don't have, you know, 800 FICO score, if you don't have an income like this, if you don't have that and the other, then we're not going to help you out. And these are the things that help to keep our people in poverty because a lot of times our people don't have that. But there are different programs and different types of businesses that we can get into that could really have a huge impact on allowing our people to make hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. But we just need to really come around to getting involved with these things and showing our people how they can deal with that, you know. And anyway, these are things that can come about, and I'm, like I said, in 100% agreement with you, our people economically do not have, you know, financial unity. And that's one of the things that's really holding us back in our community because we need to come together in unity financially. And you see that many times where the Italians will come together and their millionaires will put money together and they'll open up a hospital, they'll open up a community center. The Jews do the same thing with their millionaires. And the black people in our community is like, what? You expect me to take money out of my millions and give it to these niggas? What else should I help them? I'm not helping them. They didn't help me become no millionaire. And I mean, I had, you know, conversations with millionaires, and they had these negative conversations, like this is what I just said. You know, they were like saying, why should I help the people in my community? And these are things that are really sad to hear because, you know, Master Charlie has brainwashed our people to the point where we don't even want to help each other or try to look out for each other or respect one another. And we need to come out of that negative mindset and start to show respect and love and caring for one another. And when we start to think like that, like there was back in the 60s, because we had people that were willing to put their life on the line to help our people. And they knew if they went into these certain white racist neighborhoods, there was a chance that they were never going to come in. If they went into a hotel where they banned black people from going in, or into a restaurant where they banned black people from going in, and then a group of black people went in there and protested about, why can't you feed me, or why can't I stay in this hotel, and stuff like that. And eventually, because they kept going back and doing that, we got the rights to actually bring about that positive change. But unfortunately, in the process of that happening, there were, you know, many blacks that went into those hotels and went into those restaurants and different white businesses and even into schools and things like that. And they got shot and gunned down for going into there and doing that, you know. And that's how crazy and negative white racism was back at that time, because they really didn't want black people in their hotels, in their restaurants. They didn't want them in their schools. And here you come walking in the door talking about you should be able to have the same rights as any white person to go send your kids to this school, or that you want to go to this school, or that you want to stay in this restaurant, you know, to eat and all this kind of stuff. But these folks didn't want to let you do that. But you know what? Our people at that time were saying, you know what? I might be killed for going into this hotel or into this restaurant, but you know what? Our people need some positive change, and I'm even willing to, you know, take a chance with my life to help my people. And
I think our mindset, negative thinking, we don't want to help
or nothing. You know, these are things that we need to do, and find the people in our community that are really willing to, as one brother said, you know, have a feeling of love in their heart and minds to actually want to help our people. And once we can start to see things from that perspective and start to move forward to do things like that, that's when we can really bring about some positive change. But right now, what I just wanted to say right quick is we're going to go on the commercial piece for a moment, and we're going to come back. But I really just wanted to say thank you for all of you guys that have been on the call with us thus far and shared your feedback, because it has really been really great to hear some positive feedback on this. Because like I said, I've heard many times people say, why should I help my people and all this kind of crazy talk. But we need to help each other. We need to care for each other. We need to want to uplift and be a blessing for one another. And once we can start to get our hearts and minds, the brother said, with our hearts and minds filled with the divine love of God and wanting to help each other, that's when we can really start to bring about some positive change. But not if we're going to just say, I'll forget it. But anyway, the commercials are getting ready to come on now, and I do thank you for coming on. And when we finish the commercials, we're going to be coming back on again, and we're going to be talking about certain things, and we're going to also be projecting things from prayer and meditation and things of that sort as well. But thank you once again, and the commercials are on their way.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com.
Network. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind.
On your mind.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
We on time.
Move around. Move around. Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Ray. I'm on a payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peeps, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Bossalina.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? This is Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamster Knife.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folks, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog. This your boy, J Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Child.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
fashion is so seductive. Live.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
So Seductive Live has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so So Seductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
And we are back right now. We are back right now with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges.
Okay. Yes, indeed. Glad that we can make it back on. And thank you guys for hanging in there and sticking with the program. Yes, indeed. So right now, what we're looking at is two things. You know, one of the things that we really wanted to focus on this evening is coming together in unity to really be a blessing to our community. Because these are one of the things that once we start to really come together and start to deal with this and know for surety that this is something that we can accomplish great and wonderful things with, we're going to have that to be a serious game changer for our community. So we need to start to see ourselves coming together to help one another, to actually turn the negative things in our community totally around. And this can happen, and it's not even a question about you think it can happen or you think it might happen. No, it is about to happen. We just need to come together with the right people that don't have a problem of saying, well, hey, if you're not a Muslim, I don't want to deal with you. Hey, if you're not a Christian, I don't want to deal with you. Hey, if you're not a Hebrew, I don't want to deal with you. Hey, if you're not a Rastafarian, I definitely don't want to deal. All that kind of negative and crazy thought, we need to kick that to the curb and just say, forget it. But we can come together in unity and respect and wanting to help one another and wanting to bring about the positive change that's needed. And once we start to really see that as our new reality of respecting each other, about caring for one another, and about really, really wanting to bring about positive change for one another, that's when all of that can truly come about. But in order for that to truly come about, as one of the brothers spoke about, we have to have the love of God within us, wanting to really help each other. Because in having the hatred of Satan within us, to want to kill each other, to want to hate each other, to want to do each other in and destroy each other's lives, having that mentality is not going to bring about any unity at all. All it's going to bring is about more killing, more dysfunctioning with coming together. But once we start to see each other from a positive perspective and really want to help each other and want to be our brother's friends, our sister's friends, and really want to reach out to help each other instead of trying to hurt each other, these are the things that we can do that will really bring about some positive and wonderful changes in our community. Because back in the 60s, we were even willing to sacrifice our lives to help our people. And nowadays, you have many people that don't even want to sacrifice a dime or a nickel to help each other, let alone sacrifice our lives. So we have to open our minds. We have to open our hearts and fill our minds and hearts, as Jesus had told us when we were dealing with the gang wars, and fill our minds and hearts with the divine love of God and Christ. And as we fill our hearts with the divine love of God and Christ and allow Jesus to remove all of that hatred that we have for ourselves, for one another, and all of that negative feeling of not wanting to trust each other, not wanting to help each other, only wanting to hurt each other and destroy each other, those are things that need to totally be erased and replaced by the divine love of God. And once we start doing that, we're going to see a huge impact of positive results pouring into our community. Because we have to come together in unity. And the only way we can do that is if we start to do things from a positive perspective, not from a hateful and negative perspective. So anyway, what I wanted to say right now, what we're going to do right now, we're going to get ready to start off with a prayer, and then we're going to do three deep breaths, and after we finish that, we're going to go right into the meditation. But again, just know for a surety, we can bring about awesome and amazing change in our community. And one last thing I'm going to say before we go into the prayer and the meditation is that Lord Jehovah said something very powerful. He said, you are made in the likeness and image of God. It said that in Genesis, you are made in the likeness and image of God, stating that you are a God being. But unfortunately, that's supposed to be a secret, that you're not supposed to even know that. Because once you know that you're a God being, and you, as Jesus said, I am in oneness with God. You know, when you become in oneness with God and God activates your God-given power, you'll be able to do things that are awesome and amazing. So that's another powerful statement that Jesus said. He said, the things I do, you can do, and even more. And Jesus did some awesome, supernatural, and amazing things. And he said, you can even do more than he did. How the heck can we ever do anything like that if we're just limited people? We are not limited people. We are God-blessed sons and daughters of God to have the ability to do awesome and amazing things. But we've been told by Master Charlie that we are very limited people, that can only do very limited things. And we do not need to listen to Satan's lies. We need to listen to the truth. And the truth is, as God said, Lord Jehovah said, you are made in the likeness and image of God. And Jesus said, you can do the things I've done and even more. That is very, very powerful. But the bottom line is you have to believe it in order to achieve it. Anyway, right now what we're going to do is go right into the prayer, and then from there we're going to go into the meditation. So, my brother, if you could do that now for us, that would be great.
But let's pray. Father, Heavenly Father, as we come into thee to develop our spirit man and our mind of the natural eye to see the spirit and thee, oh Father, that we come unto thee right now asking you to touch our bodies and give us the spirit and the ability to go beyond our physical and mental thoughts, and to ask you to bless us and all those who are here and those who are not in the mattress, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, my brother. Thank you for sharing that with us. And now what I would like each individual who's on the line with us right now to find a comfortable sitting position, you know, whether it's in your apartment or house or whether it's in another location where you are, find a comfortable sitting position where you will not be disturbed while you're going to get ready to do the, you know, meditation with us. And as you find that comfortable sitting position, what I would also like you to do is to close your eyes, because we're talking about going within, and God dwells within us. As he said, our physical bodies are the temple that God dwells in. Our physical body is the temple, and God dwells within the temple. But another thing is, we need to go within and start to make the connection strongly with God. And that's one of the things that meditation allows us and helps us to do. So right now, we're going to do 3 deep breaths, and then we're going to go right into the meditation and the prayer. So let's get ready to do that now and get started and see what we can do to really bring about some positive things to start to come through. Okay, again, our first breath, breathe in deep. All peace, calm, and total relaxation. And breathe out stress, anxiety, and tension. Let it go, let it go. Yes, indeed. Now, second breath, breathe in deep. The awesome and amazing knowledge of knowing that God given power is within you, and that you have the ability to activate it, but you have to let go as you breathe out of all fear and doubt. Let it out, let it out, let it go, let it go. All fear and doubt, let it go. Okay, next, what I would like you to do is to actually start to breathe in for your third breath, breathe in deep. Your true identity as being sons and daughters of God that have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things. For as it was said by the Lord, you are made in the likeness and image of God. And now just breathe out all fear and doubt and know that you being a son or daughter of God can truly empower you to do some awesome and amazing things. And once we start to see ourselves in our true reality, we will be able to bring about some really awesome and amazing things. For just to share one quick thing that happened, you know, one of the gang wars that was really very powerful was with, you know, our youth that, you know, it was really crazy because the youth were at gang war with five of those kids got killed from the other gang. And then the other gang that had the five kids get killed, they were getting ready to, you know, go against the other gang. And they had bought machine guns and everything, and they were getting ready to go in and kill this, the kids from the other gang. And a gentleman came to me from Baltimore, and he told me, you know, this was going to happen over the weekend. And then what ended up happening, he actually saw, you know, and heard about, you know, how successful our, you know, getting rid of and stopping the gang wars in New York was really happening. So he said, wow, you guys think you guys could stop the gang wars in Baltimore as well? And we said, yes. And what ended up happening from there, we focused on what the spiritual formula that Jesus gave us, which was the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ. And when we saw that in the minds of these kids in Baltimore, and we really envisioned Jesus' hand going into their minds and hearts and pulling all of that hatred and anger and that desire to kill each other, and how he just cleansed their minds and hearts totally by utilizing the divine love of God in Christ. What ended up happening was that weekend came, and they were supposed to get the revenge that they were looking for with their machine guns and everything. What ended up happening, there was no revenge that was sought at all. Jesus and God had taken that desire from their hearts and minds, and they had put it out there in the community that they were definitely going to seek to get revenge over the weekend. They were going to kill as many of them as they could, and it never came about. So spiritually, we do have the power and the ability to really utilize our God-given power through God in Christ, through Allah, through Jehovah. You know, and basically all I could say to you, you know, with the other, you know, religions as well, is that we can come together and respect each other's religion and where we are coming from spiritually, and know that through the divine love of God in Christ, we can start to see that cleansing the mind of whether it's racist police officers that want to kill our people for no reason, for they've been killing our children, been killing our women, they've been killing our brothers, you know, many times, and getting away with it. You know, brothers having handcuffs on, and racist police officers putting a gun to their head and shooting and killing them and saying that they felt that they were threatened, and these guys had handcuffs on. How are you going to be threatened, you know? But anyway, bottom line is this. When you utilize the divine love of God in Christ, which is one of the most powerful forces in the universe, that can cleanse away that hatred and that anger from people, just as it did with the youth in Baltimore that wanted to kill the other gang members to seek revenge for them killing some of their members. All I can say to you is, right now, what I would like us to see is the divine love of God shining brightly, bright light, shining in our minds and hearts, and seeing that bright light going out into our community, where our people are, some having open hearts and minds filled with love for God and love for our people. And unfortunately, there are others that have no love. But what we are seeing now is that bright light of God's divine love going into our people's minds and hearts. And as it goes in there, for those that have no love but hate and anger for one another, and even would not mind killing each other, that Jesus now is taking that hatred and anger and that desire to kill and destroy each other totally out of the youth, totally out of the adults' hearts and minds, and replacing it with the divine love of God. And as that divine love of God fills their hearts and minds. What is happening is that it is totally transforming their consciousness from being down in the gutter of Satan to now being in higher heights in Christ and God. And now they have respect for each other. They have love for each other. They have a desire to help each other. They have a desire to be a blessing to one another. These are things that can truly come about. All we need to do is utilize the spiritual power of God and Christ and know that these things can truly come about. For we have seen this occur in the past. For we have killed that negativity. We had stopped it. We had ended it. And I was very, very thankful to the mercy and love of God in Christ for allowing those blessings to come about. For many youth could have died in those gang wars. Just like in that one in Harlem where just 20 kids got killed in just one gang war session. And when you're doing it for a whole year or 6 months or 3 months, and you could have 3 or 4 battles, you could have 5 or 6 battles, and you could have a whole bunch of kids getting killed in each of those battles. It doesn't have to be 1 or 2 kids. It could be 5 or 10, or just like the one that I just told you about where there was 20 kids that got killed. All of that can come to an end once we start to see the divine love of God in Christ in our brothers and sisters' hearts and minds, and how their hearts and minds are being totally cleansed through the divine love of God in Christ. When Jesus is reaching into their hearts, reaching into their minds, and cleansing all that negativity away, and allowing a great opportunity to come about, a new reality, but we are coming together in unity to help one another, to be a blessing to one another. And as we come together in that state of mind, all that negativity will no longer last, totally erased and totally replaced by the divine love of God in Christ. So let us know for a surety, as we see across the nation and now even spreading it into Africa and the Caribbean islands and South America, into Central America, into the whole world. Let us see the divine love of God in Christ taking away hatred and anger from the minds and hearts of those who Satan has seized their minds. Satan has seized their hearts and told them that they need to kill one another. They need to destroy each other. And all I can say is Jesus and God have the power to stop and cleanse all that hatred and anger and bring about what we call world peace. World peace is when there is no more murdering, when there is no more hatred, when there is no more anger, when there is no more desire to destroy each other's lives. And instead of reaching out to destroy and kill each other, now the family of humanity and the human race are reaching out not to kill, but to help each other. Not to kill, but to uplift one another. Not to kill, but to be a blessing to each other. All of that insanity and negativity of the past can no longer last because the divine love of God in Christ has totally cleansed all of that negativity away. And now we can all live in a world with a new reality filled with joy, love, peace, and happiness that we can share with one another. Not the desire to destroy, but to help one another. So let us just see that for a moment before we end this meditation. Let us see each other sending that light out into our community. where the people in our community are now reaching out to be a blessing to one another. And in us doing that, we will now see ourselves coming into unity to be a blessing to our community. And I just want to say thank you very much for participating in this meditation. And know that if we do this on a regular, we'll be able to change our community and get rid of all the self-hatred and negativity in our youth and in our adults. And we will come together in respect, love, and caring for one another to help one another. So let's keep that in mind and know that this is our time. Peace and blessings to one another.
Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. Tell me, how do you handle guilt of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile?
Yeah.